Welcome to A Life in Biography. This episode is called Sylvia Plath's Mirror and the Prison House of Modernism. This is actually going to be a two-part podcast. The second part I probably won't do for a few weeks, since next week I'm going to be talking to Mary Dearborn about her biography of Carson McCullers. And the week after that, I will be speaking with Lois Banner about her biography of Greta Garbo. So Sylvia Plath's Mirror, there is a poem of hers that's titled Mirror, and the Prison House of Modernism. A little bit of background about this, why I'm doing this. I first taught Sylvia Plath in high school, a private high school, the Agnes Irwin School in Rosemont, Pennsylvania, on the Main Line. And my first introduction to Sylvia Plath's work, not to her life, but to her work, was in an anthology, a popular anthology called Sound and Sense, edited by Lawrence Perrin. And there were two poems in that anthology. One was Mirror, and the other one was Metaphors, and they both continue to be some of my favorite Plath poems. And when I taught these poems in 1973, I was still working on my PhD, and at that time had no idea that I'd be writing a biography of Sylvia Plath. Not only didn't I have any idea that I'd be writing a biography of Sylvia Plath, it had never even occurred to me that someday I would write a biography of anybody. Because in graduate school, and I was getting my PhD from the University of Toronto, I had finished all my coursework, and I was teaching at this school in Philadelphia. So I was able to start the dissertation in Toronto, but then finished writing it actually outside of Philadelphia while I was teaching at this private school. And as I say, nobody ever in graduate school talked about doing a biography, and we certainly didn't study biography as a part of our coursework. Someone might pick up, say, a biography of Wordsworth because they were interested in the poet and in his development, perhaps as a poet. Now, as far as the Prison House of Modernism goes, well, first of all, modernism has no place for biography. The modernist credo has nothing to do with biography, and biography would be looked upon as extraneous to what modernists feel they're doing when they're looking at a work of literature. And I was trained in that tradition. And that's part of the reason why it never occurred to me that I might one day be a biographer. And this poem didn't, even after reading this poem, it never crossed my mind that I would write one book about Sylvia Plath, let alone several biographical books of Plath, some of which are still coming out. Well, I was thinking about this podcast and this poem Mirror as, again, my introduction to Sylvia Plath. And so I went back and I read the poem online. You can get virtually all of Plath's poetry online now to read. And before I read this poem, Mirror, this business about the prison house of modernism, where does that come from? Well, it comes from me, of course, but I'm thinking of Wordsworth's Immortality Ode, which has had a tremendous impact, I think, on my thinking about all sorts of things. And there's this, there are two lines in the Immortality Ode. Shades of the prison house begin to close upon the growing boy. He's talking about what happens, what society does to us, how we come trailing clouds of glory, as he says in the Immortality Ode. And that sort of Platonic idea is beaten out of us by experience, by society, by society being a kind of prison house and limiting the kind of liberating joy that Wordsworth saw in the childhood, in the boy's childhood. Shades of the prison house begin to close upon the growing boy. It's ominous. It's rather like Rousseau in its thinking about society and nature and culture and so on. So it's in that context that I read to you this poem titled Mirror. It once had a longer title, but the editors at the New Yorker suggested a shorter title, and I think it works. Mirror always gives me the chills. I am silver and exact. I have no preconceptions. Whatever I see, I swallow immediately, just as it is, unmisted by love or dislike. I am not cruel, only truthful. The eye of a little god, four-cornered. Most of the time, I meditate on the opposite wall. It is pink, with speckles. I have looked at it so long, I think it is part of my heart. But it flickers. Faces and darkness separate us, over and over. Now I am a lake. A woman bends over me, searching my reaches for what she really is. Then she turns to those liars, the candles or the moon. I see her back and reflect it faithfully. She rewards me with tears and an agitation of hands. I am important to her. She comes and goes. Each morning it is her face that replaces the darkness. In me, she has drowned a young girl, and in me, an old woman rises toward her day after day like a terrible fish. I get chills reading that poem. I don't know if you do. There's a kind of menace in it, a kind of ominousness, but also a kind of fairy tale quality to it. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of us all? I mean, it's an ancient trope. An idea. And you could see why Lawrence Perrin put this book in his anthology, Sound and Sense, because obviously the sound and the sense of this poem are important. It's important to read it aloud to students if you're teaching it. And it conveys, well, what does it convey? Rather than my interpreting the poem for you, as I say, I found this poem online, and here's a short analysis of the poem. Now, it's interesting about the analysis, and it's labeled analysis, and then in parentheses, it says AI, artificial intelligence. Someone must have put this, I've not done this, someone must have put this poem through, in a sense, whatever, software, whatever, artificial intelligence, and came out with an interpretation of the poem. Here's the analysis, the AI analysis. The poem explores the tumultuous nature of identity, presenting a mirror as an impartial observer that reflects the truth without judgment. It differs from Platt's other works by shifting the locus from personal experiences to an external entity, examining the impact of perception on one's self-image. The poem reflects the modernist era's exploration of fragmented and multiple identities, mirroring the societal shifts and the uncertainties of the time. Why don't you chew on that while I take a sip of coffee? What is striking about this analysis, or what is literally true about this analysis, is that it's machine-made. And it reminds me of as I was getting out of graduate school and getting my PhD in 1975, structuralism and then deconstruction were just hitting like a huge wave on English departments across the world, certainly across the United States anyway. And I remember trying to read a few issues of PMLA, the Publications of the Modern Language Association, and deconstructionist interpretations of works of literature were just coming into vogue. And I quickly stopped reading them. And the reason I stopped reading them is they all sounded the same. Almost as if, pardon me, almost as if they had come out of a machine. They seemed all the same to me. They all came to the same conclusion about the instability of the text, to put it simplistically. What did this mean? I think one of the reasons why I turned to biography is it seemed to me that literary critics were turning into machines in the prison house of modernism, that a whole generation of graduate students were taught, you know, a credo that had no room at all for biography. Now, right after this analysis of the poem Mirror, and you might want to go back and look at the poem itself, is a human response to the poem by someone identified as Dreamweaver Silk. You know, who is this? I don't know. But it is a person, as we know right away, because the first words are, "I love this." Yeah, a human response. "I love this." Not, "Oh, this is an example of the tumultuous nature of human identity." No, "I love this." This person goes on to say, "It kind of sounds like she's writing about herself." What? She's writing about herself? Come on now. Didn't the machine analysis just tell us that that's not what this poem is about? That it's unlike Plath's other poems? It kind of sounds like she's writing about herself here, especially since the title is called Mirror. I love the part where she says, "Most of the time I meditate on the opposite wall, it is pink with speckles. I have looked at it so long, I think it is part of my heart." It's such a romantic, if you pardon the expression, Wordsworthian idea of projecting one's feelings into nature. Or as Wordsworth says in one of his poems, "We half perceive and half create the world." If we half perceive and half create the world, if part of the meaning of a poem or part of the meaning of Mona Lisa, as Walter Pater said, depends on who's looking at it, surely there's room for, you guessed it, biography. "I have looked at it so long, I think it's part of my heart." Remember, it's this pink wall. She goes on to say, and I'm thinking it's a she. I don't know that it's a she. "That's probably my favorite part of this whole piece. It is absolutely beautiful and sad, especially knowing the background of her life story and its untimely end." Uh-oh. We're going to bring Plath's life and even her suicide into this poem? What can I say about this? When is biography off limits? It's when we're in the prison house of modernism. A child would want to know, who did that? Who wrote that? Not just, what does it mean? How does it fit into the history of literature? Though we can certainly discuss all those things in this poem. I guess I'm obsessed with this idea of shades of the prison house, how studying of literature can actually blind us to the full value of literature. It's what Michael Holroyd once said about biography. It prevents us from being too bookish. Every time I read this Wordsworth line, I let shades of the prison house begin to close upon the growing boy. I think of my daughter when she was an infant and just beginning to say her first words. And I'll never remember the day when she was toddling up to a table and reaching across the table while she was looking at me, and she had this glint in her eyes, and the words that came out of her mouth were, "No, no, 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 no," in a very soft whisper. And she looked at me, because what was I? Well, one of the things I was the prison keeper, the person who told the child, "No, you can't do that," or "You can't do this," and so on. And I guess what I'm saying about biography is it permits us to do all sorts of things that we're not supposed to do. I can't help but think, and I'm going to be getting to this in my second part, when I talk about Joyce Carol Oates and her reaction to a biography of Eudora Welty and to a biographer, actually a biographer I knew, Anne Waldron. And Oates' response to the biographer is, again, I think, from within the prison house of modernism. So that's a little bit to think about. I hope you will read the Plath poem again. I just think it's a magnificent poem. It says so much about poetry. I think it does say a good deal about her. Can you read this poem without knowing anything about Sylvia Plath? Obviously, as the machine told you, you can. As a machine can. But reading it as a human being, and certainly as a biographer, means something else again. Thanks very much for listening.